listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning. Today, he's with me to talk about a new sponsor to this show, El Oro Resources. The company's flagship project is the Isca silver-rich polymetallic project in Bolivia. And Quentin is a technical advisor and senior business advisor to the company. Speaking with Quentin, I know that he believes the project not only has the right geology to potentially become very valuable, but it also has large scale. And it's one of the things that Dr. Quentin Henning is known for. He doesn't like to get involved in small projects because sometimes they're more trouble than they're worth. But he sees something here, apparently, that he really likes, or he wouldn't have gotten involved with it. El Oro Resources trades in Toronto under the symbol ELO. You can buy it in the U.S., as I have, under the symbol ELRRF. About 51.7 million shares, I believe, after they just did a financing and raising a little over $6 million in Canadian money. And from what I can see, management institutions own more than half of the shares of this company. So it's a very tight share float. Obviously, I think with some good news, these shares could move fairly rapidly. I saw before the show they were trading at $1.47 in U.S. money, giving it a market cap around $76 million. Still a very low market cap if this is a something large scale in this bull market. So it's something that I'm really watching very carefully. It's something that I want to keep on top of because I think there's a chance to make a lot of money with this company. Thank you so much for joining me, Quentin. It's really good to have you with me again.
Pleasure, Jay.
You know, I'd like to ask you, I want you to do the talking today, and I want to shut up as much as possible. My wife tells me that's what I need to do more, so I'm obedient to her. But, you know, when we think about Bolivia, it's really an area that's a country that we've stayed away from to a great extent. Investors have been uneasy given the political situation there. Maybe you could just comment quickly before we get into the nuts and bolts of the project. What about Bolivia? Obviously, you must not be as fearful as you might have been in the past about Bolivia.
Well, look, Bolivia has gone through a lot of changes here. Actually, in the past year, they've had elections recently. The old regime is out, which is good in my view. There seems to be an openness and appetite for investment, in particular mining, with the new president. I think this is a good sign. I did look when this opportunity first landed in my inbox back in May. I talked to people I know at Sumitomo. You know, Sumitomo has San Cristobal mine nearby.
Oh, yeah.
I talked to some others too. You know, but basically, I wanted to get a sense of what Bolivia is like. Look, you know, no place is perfect by any stretch, but I guess overall, I get the sense the overall trajectory of the political and social environment was improving. And you see this phenomena regularly amongst many countries around the world as they go in cycles. You know, they'll have ups and downs. When things improve, you kind of want to be in there, you know, as a first mover. You know, look at some of the countries that got into Ecuador, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, now Ecuador is viewed as a very favorable jurisdiction for mining. I think Bolivia is heading in that same direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these countries find out they have to find a way of generating wealth. And when you start with mining, that's a great way to generate wealth for the whole country. It's a starting point. Okay, so talk about Isca project there in Bolivia. What caused you to get interested in this from a geological perspective, Quentin? And maybe you comment on the people that you're working with as well.
Yeah, sure. Let's start with the people. Tom Larson heads the company. Tom is a very savvy guy. Also operates really well. Like, keeps his companies tight, and the financing's like, you know, what we just did is a minimal dilution, you know, et cetera. This is what investors like. You've got Bill Pearson, a well-known geologist, he had a wild success there at Desert Sun, which sold to Yamana. He, by the way, his comments about Iska is, this is the most exciting project he's ever worked on. I tend to agree with him about, you know, the potential. So, anyway, Bill's a really solid guy to work with, and I enjoy working with him. We also, though, have a very important member in Bolivia. Look, we've got Osvaldo Arce. Dr. Arce is basically the guy who wrote the book. I mean, literally wrote the book on these styles of deposits. And they're kind of, they're not unique per se to Bolivia, but they're certainly a district scale, geology here at play. You know, these are, they're basically driven by intrusives, call them porphyries if you want, that have come up in a cluster in kind of south-central Bolivia. And, boy, you know, talk about metal endowment. These things really generate world-class deposits. Now, to give you an example, why Iska Iska? Well, look, Iska Iska is literally due south of Potosi, or some people call it Potosi as well, depending on how you like to pronounce it, but Potosi was the biggest single silver district, period, on Earth. Okay, these magmas that come up, they tend to generate large disseminated deposits, but they can also have kind of an epithermal overprint, which in places can be very high grade. All right, so these can have kind of the low grade disseminated nature, but also have a higher grade bonanza style mineralization associated with them. There's plenty of other examples in the region. I mean, there's in operating mines, you got San Cristobal, like I mentioned, which is Sumitomo, which is due west of us. And that deposit was the single largest silver producer on an annual basis for several years here recently. It was producing, I believe, somewhere around 25 to 30 million ounces of silver per year. And of course, the lead and the zinc was covering most of the cost, so the silver production was effectively $0. You know, just an incredible deposit. So Iska Iska, well, look, this is one of these types of systems. There's probably about 15, 20 deposits in this region of this ilk. I would say Iska Iska shares more similarities with Potosi than any other deposit in the region. In other words, its position within the porphyry and near surface environment is almost identical to Potosi. You see, geologically, we see the overprint of the high grade mineralization on that porphyry environment, the more disseminated style environment. And then we see scale. I mean, the thing is absolutely immense. Okay, so we started drilling, I believe, September, and, you know, we've announced a few holes. Good intercepts. Look, you know, to give people a perspective of what we're trying to find, what we're looking for is a deposit that's going to be very large, you know, maybe hundreds of millions of tons, or even upwards of a billion tons. And it should have, it's polymetallic, so you kind of have to, you know, look at it, kind of normalize it. And, you know, the best way to think about it is silver equivalency. So it might say 3 to 5 ounce silver equivalent. Okay, so you might have some, you'll have lead, you'll have zinc, maybe even a bit of gold. There might be other things in there, copper, tin, you know, bismuth, and some other exotic metals like indium. But, you know, in as a whole, if you kind of mentally convert it to gold, silver equivalency, you can kind of rationalize the intercepts that we have. And so far, the results are quite good. Now, those first five holes that we published a few weeks ago were just short holes drilled from an underground working. We actually started drilling underground, believe it or not. The reason was because there's an access and adit that goes in. The topography is incredibly steep, so accessing the top of the hill is a challenge. Now, we do have a road up to the top now, and we're able to drill from surface. But the initial holes were drilled from underground, and they targeted a little breccia pipe that had some pretty good numbers. But we soon recognized that the breccias to the southwest and to the south from there are much, much bigger. Okay, so later in the year, and you can see some of the core photos, I think, published in the most recent update about the project, we drilled some beautiful holes in the Santa Barbara breccia, but also the bigger one that's to the south, the hole went into there. Look, when you start seeing breccia pipes that are hundreds of meters across, like, you know, 400, 800 meters across, and you're seeing sulfide mineralization, you know, down these breccia pipes, you know, basically like ad nauseum. I mean, these things just go and go and go. You know, you're into a big system. I'm very excited about the prospects. You know, do we have, we don't have assays yet for the holes that were drilled late in the year. But, I very much hope to see some good results. What do we expect? Well, look, I would say if we start seeing intervals of, you know, 100-plus meter, maybe hundreds of meters in some cases, of 3 to 5 ounce silver equivalency, you know, that in my book is a discovery, okay? And I think that this project, you know, has that kind of potential. I think we, you know, once we get into the guts of it, I think we will see this thing deliver. That's my hunch. And I think that this could end up being one of the biggest silver discoveries in, really, in this in the past decade or two. So it's exciting. It's a very exciting story.
Yeah. So we're looking at a bulk mineable silver. Really, is it got any gold with it at all?
You know, it does. This one does, which is interesting. Okay, we actually had some very high grade gold. In fact, you know, you remember I said there's an overprint. You get this kind of overprint. We'll call it epithermal overprint on the system. So we do have gold in some places. Now, it's not everywhere, but it's definitely part of the system. You know, as we drill more, I think we'll learn more about how the gold is distributed through here. But I would say that gold will contribute significantly to the overall success of the project. But, you know, really, again, it's driven by silver plus lead, zinc, but also a few other elements, copper, tin, bismuth, indium, things like that.
Right, which with just about a minute and a half left here yet, metallurgical issues sometimes with these complex deposits. I mean, it's you know, metallurgically complex when you have all these different kinds of metals mixed together.
I'm not too worried because you look at around us, there's plenty of operating mines that treat these types of ore bodies, you know, so you get multiple different streams of concentrates. You know, you do flotation, you collect, you know, a lead concentrate that might have a lot of silver, you might collect the zinc concentrate, you might collect a pyrite concentrate that has a bit of the gold, you know, whatever, but it generally these things are well behaved.
Yeah, and if you have a large enough deposit, valuable enough, you can afford the capital to build it and so forth. And I mean this is a company that's, as you said, structured very well. Its capital structure is very strong. It just raised some money. It's well funded, I guess, to take it into next year.
Correct. Yes, we're going to be very
this year, I should say.
Yeah, this year we're here. Yeah, look, the drill starts up again in about a week. You know, they take Christmas break there. They work right up till Christmas, but now they've been off. But they'll fire up again on the 14th, I believe. The assay labs again, they've taken a break, so we're not going to see assays until you know, for a few weeks here. But look, we're going to go full guns here. We got $6.3 million, I believe, in the raise.
Yeah,
we're going to absolutely go pell mell here.
And you got about 14 drill holes that are remaining. I mean, how soon do you think you might get the assays from that 19-hole program that you drilled already? Should be coming shortly.
Yeah, we'll start to see, you know, they come back in lots. So we'll see some come back probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then, but those last holes that we drilled, you know, especially the one in the Santa Barbara pipe from surface, that one just, you know, like, as you can imagine, you're standing on top of this massive pipe and you're drilling more or less straight down the guts of it. Yeah, that was an interesting hole.
Well, we'll wait and see for it then. It should be very exciting, and very exciting also because I think we're moving into, I mean, Michael Oliver was on the first segment, is talking about his target late this year or into next year because he thinks the precious metals markets are on the verge of an explosive rise. You know, he sees upwards to $200 silver sometime before this bull market is over. I don't want to hype this too much, but I am very excited about the project, and I do believe we're in the bull market of a lifetime in precious metals, and silver probably outperforms gold on the way up. So it could be very exciting, Quentin. Thank you so much for being with us and explaining this new story, this new company to our radio show. Thank you so much for being with us.
No problem.
We do have to go to break now, but when we come back, James Rickards will be with me to talk about his new book. That is The New Great Depression. And James will have some very important things to say, so I hope you'll stick around. I'll be right back.
Voice America is available on your Google connected device.
Okay, Google, play Turning Hard Times into Good Times podcast on iHeartRadio.
Try it today.
NV Gold Corp, trading under NVX on the TSX and NVGLF on the OTC, is a gold exploration company focused on uncovering the next multi-million ounce gold deposit in North America. With an aggressive exploration season ahead in 2020, a tight share structure, strong management ownership, key strategic investors including Eric Sprott, a globally recognized technical team, technical coverage from industry gold experts, and cash in its treasury. Visit nvgoldcorp.com to learn more on this exciting story.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.